Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, we're going to go with, it's kind of based on yesterday's situation, we're going to go right to prayer right now, okay? Very essential for all of us as Christian brothers and sisters here, as we... Yes, if you weren't aware at a campaign rally held by Donald Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania, there was a, he was shot from a building, gentleman, assailant. I call him the enemy. Satan's out there trying to take every one of us one at a time, maybe, but whatever. But the thing is, he was shot. Luckily, God's hand was in this whole thing, I honestly believe. Despite his head turning, at 1 second he got shot and right in the earlobe, and one, it looked like it grazing in the neck. I'm not every on everything of specifics, but yeah, it could have been from the glass, from through a teleprompter. See, I don't know everything. There's so much of this going on, and the thing is, but God told me this man needs prayer. Okay, his family. So let's go ahead and join me in prayer this morning. Dear Lord, we're in awe of your presence, Father God. But once again, as we get to Mr. Trump, Father God, we just ask you that you just continue to heal him, Father God. Trump, just tell, I've heard supporters around there talking about you, Lord God. So I hope and pray we get united in this situation. So, Father God, just continue to heal him, Father God. Heal his family. I know there's a lot of people right there in the family area. Also a victim that was taken out, Father God, and just his family also. But also we got two others that are critically injured. Father God, they're still in the hospital, so we ask you to quicken the healing in those people and their families too, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, for your protection, Father God, because you're by your righteous right hand, Lord. It just turned Mr. Trump's head just about the right time. We could have had a different type of day today, Father God. But you intervene, because you know the thing is, the big story, it was about you. For your glory. This whole thing was started out. You used Mr. Trump as a vessel yesterday for a moment here. And the thing is, what happened is, God's saying, you know, we're not talking about flesh and blood. We're talking spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, powers of darkness. That's it, trying to intervene. We're in the end times. We expect those type of things. We hear that all the time. We preach it, teach it. And we're hearing it from other pastors all around the world, the ones that want to be up front with it. But there's also, too, it bought into lies. Satan is still out there, roaming around, see what we can seek and devour. We come against that in the name of Jesus. Because we have the victory, but it's the battles. God says, see, that's why you need me, Christ. So I think it's a bigger picture. And with all the people that were trying to report from wherever, you heard a lot of it late last night, you heard it this morning. What involved is different parts of the country. I hope and pray that every individual group that was surrounded in the country, someone was leading them in prayer, because they were open to it. You could tell that. You could sense the work of the Lord there. But bigger picture is, it'd be a day of salvation. Salvations would come. Something good would come out of this. And that's what God always does. If your focus is on him. And that's why you're on daily tribulations and those trials. That's why he says, start with me. Seek me first, the kingdom of God and righteousness. And his righteousness and all these other things be added unto us. While we're doing his work, he'll take care of us. We don't have to worry about that. So, Lord, just continue, I hope and pray, people come to know Christ as Lord and Savior today. Today would be that day. And we ask you, Lord, and there'd be plenty of people out there willing to receive. And this is one thing, too, also, I haven't got quoting the Second Chronicles, but is if we turn away from our wicked ways, God, you'll heal the land. So I'm just paraphrasing right now, but the thing is, you know my heart, Lord. And you know, I know you, Lord God, as you're directing everything here today, that your will be done, not ours. Help us decrease so you can increase in our lives. Be a God pleaser, not a man pleaser. We need to separate that. He is in us is greater than he is in the world. We need to go on. Now, there's a lot of things now we have to pray about. Constantly, T's been doing a great job. Father, we thank you for her. And everybody else is doing stuff here I don't want to name names, because it's the biggest thing is everybody's important. Like we say, you pinpoint it down to individuals, to families, to the body of Christ here at Grace, and then globally around the world. Everybody's got a part in this. Whatever you can do, do that and let God do the rest. We need a healing, especially healing over the country. Like I say, pray for those type of things. Pray for people to step up, take a stand. And, you know, we know overall we have victory. But the thing is, the harvest is out. We got work to do. It'll always be out. It'll be, but are we ready? Let's pray up, you know, continue to do those things. So we're blessed to have a God like that. Oversees everything, will not forsake us. He's with us right now. He's orchestrating the praise and worship for the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So if you have stuff in our lives and some blockage there from not allowing you to do something that God wants you to do, get set free today. Repent. Turn from that wicked way. It's easy as that. God will forgive you. Send that to the Father, that sin the Father's power of the sea, depths of the ocean, and forget it. He will. That's who he is. He's a loving Father. He cares about everyone here. So we lift that up. We ask you, Lord, to anoint Jim as he comes forward, brings a message. Anoint his mind, heart, and tongue as the word goes through him like rivers of living water. Knowing Jim like I do in the body here, he's prepared. He's got a message. And, you know, going forth, receive what you need to receive today. And then you're going forth, could be today. He said, Lord says, be about my business today. Spreading the word, going forth. There's enough things that happen that people are already kind of maybe in disarray, they're sad and things like that, but joy of the Lord is our strength. And we'll get that joy, and they'll look at us and say, that might be just a starting point so they come to know you as the Lord and Savior, Father. So instill that in us, that we have work to do. It's about the Father's business, and we do it without fail, without looking back behind us. Yesterday's already gone. We'll never get that back. Today, what can we do for the Lord today? It's about his people. So we ask it to continue to draw strength from you, to seek you out. And we lift you up on high. Thank you for who you are, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Would you stand and worship with us this morning?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome. I see a couple new faces that I haven't seen before.
Children.
Oh, yes, children. My bad. Children are released for Children's Church. Are there any children leaving?
Well, there might be one or two.
What's David doing? David needs power. Amen. Power in his word. Put that word in your head. Let it make the travel down to your heart. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to start with chapters 1, chapter 2. Then we'll be blessed to have David continue on with what I don't finish in 2 and chapter 3. Hopefully he'll be able to finish that. You know, I called David because we spoke about doing this, and in the spirit of continuing on with some form of expository preaching while pastor's gone, that I said, if I did chapters 1 and 2, would you do chapter 3? And he said, absolutely. So thank you, David. We're going to look at why part of the reason the second Book of Thessalonians is there is because there was some confusion in the church. There was some false teachings that are going around. In chapter 2, verse 2, it says they're either by spirit or message or letter. We don't really know. Paul didn't really know. But there was some confusion going around that the second coming had already happened. And the church was being persecuted. And when you're being persecuted and you know something about what Revelation says and you know about the persecution that happens during tribulation, you might think that, man, I'm being persecuted. Maybe we are in the tribulation. Maybe the second coming has come and I missed it. You know, so there was some confusion among the church. And of course, false teachings. Today, it's easier to get the word out about false teachings, isn't it? I mean, you got the web, you got TV, you got just so many different ways that make it a little easier than what it was back in the days of Paul and the apostles and Jesus' time. But it still happened. It's accelerated a bit, but it hasn't changed. Again, the fact that the church was under some pretty heavy persecution kind of made it a little simple for them to believe that maybe those false teachings were right. And when we are under persecution, we too sometimes can be led astray by the persecution. Paul himself founded the church. And there's three chapters, and in those three chapters he comforts them, he corrects them, and he encourages them. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. From Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is identified as the author of this, but his companions, Silvanus, Silas, better known as Silas in some areas, and Timothy likely helped him write the letter. Both Silas and Timothy had been on missionary work with Paul in the past. If you go back to Acts 16, 19 through 27, which I'm not going to read, Silas was in prison with Paul, but you probably will remember the story. Pastors preached on it, and if you have it, if you read your Bible, you'll recognize the story of them being in prison and praising God, and the earth shook and the gates opened up, and you know, and they were basically free to leave. The jailer was ready to kill himself because of what happened. Paul said, don't do it. So these men knew each other, trusted each other, and knew each other well. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. It's not uncommon to Paul use those same words in other books of the Bible that he wrote. It was just a customary briefing, introduction that he used. Moving on, I know it's hot in here. I'm hot as well. I told Rob as I was standing over here watching this, I think I'll move the podium over here. This isn't bad underneath the fan. It feels pretty good, you know? verses 3 and 4 says, we ought to thank God always for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith flourishes more and more in the love of each one of you. All for one another is even greater. As a result, we ourselves boast about you in our churches of God for your perseverance, faith, and the persecutions and afflictions you endure. And when Sherry asked me to read that scripture, I thought about what I was preaching on. And she mentioned some of you don't know, because we haven't got the Word of God in us. And there may be some here. And who here can say, I know and I don't have any issues? Or who can say, I need more? I need more. There's not a person here that, being honest with themselves, wouldn't admit that we all need more. We all need more. In some versions of the Bible, it says that we, instead of, that uses the word bound instead of ought. We ought to thank God, we ought, we are bound, is another version, says bound. Both imply it was Paul and Silas and Timothy's duty to thank God for the word that he is doing in the Thessalonian church. We are bound by that. We ought to be thanking God. It is our duty to thank God. It is our responsibility to thank God for what he's doing in our lives. It doesn't matter what it is.
That's right.
Mike and Jen, going through the death of a child, it is their duty. They are bound to continue to thank God. Even in the midst of that,
yes,
we trust and we pray and agree with them that they will be able to do that. They were thanking God for what the work that they were doing in the Thessalonian church. Just like it is our duty to thank God always for all he is doing in our church and in ourselves. Spurgeon wrote this in one of his writings. He says, "It is our duty to praise him. You are bound by the bonds of his love as long as you live to bless his name. It is meet and comely that you should do so. It is not only a pleasurable exercise, but is the absolute duty of the Christian life to praise God." Pretty powerful words. Pretty powerful words. Looking at what was going on in the Thessalonian church, heavy persecution. We don't know what the persecutions were. We know they were being persecuted, and there was heavy persecutions because the Word of God tells us that. But their faith was flourishing, and there is more and more love for one another. Think about that for a minute. They didn't decide to get on their own little island and say, "This really stinks. Poor me." Did they?
No.
They showed love, greater love than they had. Greater love than they had for one another through that persecution. Their faith was flourishing, and their love was more and more. Paul, Silas, and Timothy were so pleased with what they saw, that the faith and love for one another that the Thessalonian church was experiencing, what they were experiencing through the Thessalonian church, they boasted about them wherever they went. Is that an encouraging word for a church going through persecution? Paul, an apostle? I don't think, at this point, you know, Paul was like, he was this guy who was killing Christians, you know, and now he's preaching the word and teaching the word and writing the word. They didn't know what we know, that Paul wrote half of our New Testament. They didn't know that. But we have the pleasure of knowing that here's a guy, you know, the Thessalonians didn't know it, but Paul's like giving them praise. Paul, Silas, and Timothy were pleased about their faith, were pleased about their love. So much they were boasting to them about other churches. And I think that speaks a lot of the character of Paul. Paul was a changed man. I mean, when you go from killing people to literally putting your life on the line for those same people, you're a changed man. So I think, you know, those two verses bring comfort to a church that is being persecuted. Verses 5-7. "This is evidence of God's righteous judgment to make you worthy of the kingdom of God for which, in fact, you are suffering. For it is right for God to repay the affliction for those who afflict you. And to you who are being afflicted, to give rest together with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." Kind of doesn't sound right, does it? You know, it's like you're being persecuted, and that's evidence that God's righteous judgment. He loves you.
Right.
There's a lot of churches who never hear this word because they won't preach the whole word of God. They choose to preach the feel good, which is important. You should feel good. You're a Christian. You have Jesus Christ in your life. He can set you free from anything. He can do many, many different things, but more importantly, he can take you through
Yes, he can.
Anything. He can take you through the deepest and darkest
Amen.
Time of your life.
Preach
he can
it.
Do it. But, you know, it just doesn't sound right that that's evidence of God's righteous judgment. And I wrote here, it says, you won't hear that in a lot of churches because they don't preach the whole word of God. We don't really like hearing the word, those hard words in the Bible, but we are fortunate that we have a pastor who is committed to not just, and I want to make sure you understand what I'm saying. Topical messages are good. I don't have a problem with a topical message. But if that's all you ever get is a topical message that picks and chooses the scriptures that are related to that message, you miss the whole Word of God. You don't get it all. Pastor recently went through the book of, was it 1 Peter or 2 Peter?
Both.
He went through both. There's some pretty tough passages in those scriptures, which, you know, Pastor and Tom and I talked about those a couple of times in our elders meeting. Like this is one I'd like to skip over. You know, it's not on topic. But it is, because it's the Word of God, because the Word of God was the topic he was preaching on. And just to encourage Pastor, even though he's not here, but I'm sure him and Kathy will listen, I personally have seen Pastor's growth as he's adopted the expository preaching, challenging this church in every way. Without skipping a verse, he has challenged this church, and I believe he has made this church stronger as a result of his expository style preaching. But that's pastor's job. His job isn't to just give us the fluff. His job is to give us the whole Word of God, not just the things that make us feel good. He gives us the entire Word of God. And the evidence of God's righteous judgment to make you worthy of a kingdom. We don't want to hear those words sometimes when you're going through persecution.
Nope.
We want that warm, fuzzy thing. But really, the warm, fuzzy thing doesn't fit the circumstance. The circumstance is they were under great persecution. That's the circumstance. A warm, fuzzy thing doesn't take them through the trial, through the persecution, through the tribulation that they were going to. So Paul gave them all. In a commentary by David Guzik, he puts it this way. We usually think of that God is absent when we suffer, and that our suffering calls God's righteous judgments into question. Has anybody ever felt like that? Anybody ever felt like, man, where are you, God? You know I'm going through this. You know everything. You're right here next to me. That's what we forget. He is right here next to us, going through it, unless we go like this and we walk away. Because the minute we walk away from God, we don't have His protection anymore. And we need that protection. And we need to be reminded He is right next to us when we are going through that persecution, when we are going through that trial. When we are going through that tribulation, He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. David Guzik goes on. He says, Paul took the exact opposite position and insisted that the Thessalonians' suffering was evidence of the righteous judgment of God. Where suffering is coupled with righteous assurance, God's work is done. The fires of persecution and tribulation were like the purifying fires of a refiner, burning away the dross and gold, bringing forth a pure, precious metal. Think about that just for a minute. God never left you during your difficult time. He will never leave you during your difficult time. We have that promise in the Word of God. It says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. There's a condition to that. We have a free will.
We do.
That's right.
We can leave Him.
Right.
We can choose to do it, and there's not a person here who hasn't at one point or another turned their back on God. The important thing is, what do we do when we recognize it? We all know some who've walked, turned their back on God, and never returned.
That's right. Yeah. I would
not want to do that. We need to keep those people in our prayers. Amen. Verse 5 says, make you worthy. This is more of a judicial decree, like you are reckoned as worthy. He's telling the Thessalonian church, you are reckoned. You are worthy. Even though they were going through these difficult things, and I'm sure there were difficult struggles that they were going through. But he's ensuring them, and he's comforting them, and he's telling them, you are worthy. Verse 6 talks about repaying those who afflict you. This implies that everything is being done under God's watchful eye, and he will be the judge.
Right.
I mean, there's not a person here, including myself, who hasn't been the judge from time to time. Every one of us, we kind of like being the judge, to be honest with you. It kind of feels good until we realize what we're doing and we read God's word and it says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. It is not yours. It is not yours. What you are going through passes through the watchful eyes of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Is that comforting? If you really think about it and you really take the time to look at it, I mean, you're going through a struggle, you're going through a trial, you're going through a tribulation, but as long as you are with him, he is there with you.
That's right, he is.
All the time. Verse 7 is just a verse of comfort. It says, you who are being afflicted, receive rest. Persecution will not last. There will be a time of rest. Verses 8 through 10 says, with flaming fire he will mete out punishment on those who do not know God or do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus. They will undergo the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his strength, when he comes to be glorified among the saints and admired on the day among all who have believed. And you did, in fact, believe our testimony. Looking at the words, the flaming fire, mete out punishment, or vengeance is another word that some of the other versions use for those who do not know God or do not obey God. I want you to think about that for a minute. First of all, there's all times where we don't obey God as Christians, but we repent. Sometimes we have to go back and repent to a brother or sister, family member, whatever it may be. But this is for those who just don't know him, don't want to know him, and they're offended by him. They're offended by him. When I think about the flaming fire, I often think, I mean, does anybody else think of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and
yes.
Abednego? You know, for those of you who had children back in the 80s and 90s, you know them as Rackshack and Benny for their Veggie Tales, right? anybody know what I'm talking about? But I think of those three. And during Rackshack and Benny, the Veggie Tales, you know, they look in and Mr. Lunt says, boss, we only put three in there, but I see four. And one of them's real shiny, he says. You know?
That's a good impression.
You know what it was?
Jesus.
They weren't alone. They weren't alone. They didn't turn their back on God, so God was right there with them in the fiery furnace. And what does it say about God in the fiery furnace? What does it say about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they came out of the fiery furnace? They didn't even smell the smoke. I mean, the furnace was so hot, it burned to death some of the people who were loading it up to make it hotter. Think about that. They went through that trial, through that tribulation, and man, I don't know what they were doing. I don't think it tells us what they were doing, but they weren't worried. Even if God burnt them to a crisp, they knew where they were going. Their faith was strong. They went through that tribulation, that persecution, and they just said, okay, throw me in. But they weren't alone. But going back to what one of the other verses said, for those who do not know God or do not follow the ways of God, they are separated from God. When the final judgment comes, there will be separation from God. There will be no calling on Jesus. They are separated. So I want you to think, when's the last time you got burnt? You burned yourself. Iron, boiling water, whatever it is. Not even the last time. Think of a burn that you had that wasn't very pleasant. I'll give you one of my burns. When I was Lori and I and Andy and Kate, when they were a little bit younger, we went up to the Bromley Alpine Slide. And we were going down, Kate and I were going down there. We were flying down through there, and of course, one of the wheels went off. Kate was in my lap. She was protected. I still have this brown mark right here in my leg where it was going until I stopped and I could get myself back on all those things. That hurt for weeks. I'm telling you, every time my knee bent, I was reminded of that burn and how much stinging and how much hurting that it had. Poetic justice, I shouldn't say this. Years later, Kate took her son up there, did the same thing on her shoulder. She had no one to protect her. But think about that burn that maybe you had, how it hurts. I mean, even if you, boiling water splatters on you, you know, you want to put ice on it. You want to temper that. When you're in hell, there is nothing you can do. You want to die. You can't even die. You will be tortured. You will be in the fire. You will be in the brimstone for those who do not know God and those who do not obey His ways. Think about that for a minute. It should encourage each and every one of us to share what we have with others. I've said this many times from this pulpit, that every one of us has eternal life. Some of our lives will be different. Some will be unending torture. And those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord will be glorious. Who was it was in the Bible went down to hell, and he said, Tell my brothers.
Lazarus.
Remember, tell them. There's nothing you can do for me, but tell them. You know?
The rich man.
That was the rich man.
The rich man wanted everlasting glory.
We know the story. I can't remember the name of the person in the story.
He doesn't give a name, he's just a rich man.
He's just a rich man who wants to tell other people, don't do what I did. I don't want them to go through what I'm going through, this eternal persecution. Mete out punishment or vengeance. So many people would say, how can a loving God have vengeance? Have you ever asked that before? How can a loving God do that? One of the commentaries, again, I read, put it this way. It is not wrong for God to take vengeance. We understand this when we understand the word means, what the word means in the ancient Greek language. We look at vengeance as retaliating. You know, that's the way we look at vengeance. But that's not the way it's described in the Greek. The word rendered vengeance has no association with vindictiveness. It is a compound based on the same root as the word rendered righteous. And it has the idea of a firm administration of unwavering justice. The idea is the application full of justice in the offender, nothing more, nothing less. It's right, because God's word says it's right. And I just, you know, I'll bring this current for just a minute. I mean, for our president, we should have the same fervent prayer for President Biden as we do former President Trump.
That's right. That's right.
There should be no difference in our prayer.
Right.
Right. The Bible says, pray for authority.
Right.
You know, you may not like what either one of them. We can pray for authority because that's what it tells us to do. The Bible, it's not our place to judge what they're doing. God will judge them. He will take care of things. Our God, our job. You know what happens when you start judging people? You've turned your back on God and you've made yourself God. That's what you've done. When you decided you're the judge, you're making yourself God and you're saying, okay, God, I got this one. I'll take care of him. That's not what we're called to do.
Amen.
God's vengeance, God's persecution will happen. And we'll either pass through judgment or we will be judged. Verse 10 is a verse of hope for the persecuted church, the Thessalonian believers. Verse 10 says, when he comes to be glorified among the saints and admired on the day among all who have believed, and you did in fact believe our testimony. Good for the Thessalonian church. Going through this, and they still believed. It's getting a little late, verses 11 and 12. And in this regard, we pray for you always that your God will make you worthy of his calling and fulfill by his power your every desire for goodness and every work of faith, that the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's final few words in this particular chapter are prayer to the Thessalonian church. The church was in the midst of persecution. Again, we don't know, but they were being persecuted and needed prayer. Paul did not let them down. He gave them prayer. In fact, he said, we pray for you how often?
Always.
Always. Praying that they would be counted worthy of his calling. The calling was to see Jesus glorified in us. We live worthy of his calling when we are filled with his power in our desires for the goodness in every work of faith. We are to be a representative of the character. Sometimes I fail. But that's my calling, is to be a representative of the character of Jesus Christ. Verse 12 says, according to the grace of our God in Lord Jesus Christ. Living worthy of his calling can only happen by the grace of God. It happens by his power, his favor, his willingness to work in us, along with us being willing to cooperate with his plan. It's so important that the minute you walk out in vengeance because you didn't like what somebody said or something like that, you're walking out of his plan. And again, I will speak about myself. I've been guilty of that. What is his plan for your life? I don't know the plan for your life. I know the desire. God wants you to be healthy. God wants you to be, you know, committed to him and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I know that because the Bible tells us that. But individually, what is your plan? What is your plan? You don't know that unless you seek God.
That's right.
And you read his word to understand that the answers are there. When you're going through a trial, you're going through persecution, you're going through tribulation, the answers are found in his word. That's where you'll find the answers. You can look in a whole host of other places, and we often do, something to bring comfort to us, something to get our mind off the persecution or the trial or whatever it may be. But the word of God will give you the plan through that desert experience that you may be going through. Just like the Thessalonian church, their love was greater. Their faith was greater. I pray that our love would be greater and our faith would be greater in the midst of the trials and tribulation which we go through. I feel almost remiss. There's a lot of people. David brought up several people a week or so ago. But it's the prayer chain. T, thank you.
Yes.
I had to ask her today because she's not only sending us the trials and the tribulations and those things that are going through, but she's making calls back and sending out praise reports to us. That is encouraging. I mean, so many times we get the prayer chain, Laurie and I will pray, and we continue to pray. We go, I wonder what's going on there, you know? And, you know, and T, thank you. We need to know about those trials and tribulations so we can be praying for one another. So that our faith and our love can be like that of the Thessalonian church. As someone else goes through a trial, we can go through it with them in prayer. And whatever else we can do to help them. It's so important. T, thank you. I mean that. Father, we thank you for your word, Father. Father, there is nothing that we go through that isn't under the watchful eye of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You are always right there with us, Father. Yes, Lord, we can turn our back, but Father, we just have to turn around and you're right there. It's not like we've got to go running back to you. You're right there. You're omnipresent. You're there for us. And Lord, we thank you, Father, that trials and tribulations, Father, we can look at them and we can be beaten down by them. But Father, we will not let them have victory over us. So Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are omnipresent. You're all-powerful. You're omnipotent. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us every step of the way. Father, give us the courage and give us the encouragement to press into you during these times, Father, so that we just, Father, our faith grows. Our love for one another grows. Father, just grow us, Lord. Teach us, Lord. Draw us to you so that, Father, we can do our very best to emulate the character of Christ in us through to others. We just thank you for your word this morning, Father. We thank you for all that you've done in each and every one of our lives. In Jesus' name. If you need prayer, I'll be available up here if you need prayer.